I need your prayers. And I need the Lord's help. And I'm confident that He will help us. I have a scripture to start out with this morning in Habakkuk, 2nd chapter, verse 1. And it says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what He will say unto me and what I will answer. Quite a scripture. I'm going to reread it from another little translation. Sometimes that is helpful. And it says, I will stand upon my watch as a sentinel. You know what a sentinel is? Someone that is a guard. Someone that is watching carefully for the enemy. So I'm going to stand upon my watch as a sentinel on the walls of a besieged city. I will look up. I will look around. And I will look within. And then it says, I will watch to see what He will say. My thoughts this morning, maybe in the beginning of our little discourse here, is how the Lord wants to talk to us, how He wants us to understand when He's speaking to us. I believe that He is always looking for a place and ways to communicate to each one of us. And at the same time, I think that you and I must be looking for those places also. Being very observant and alert, we can become so busy in life and so taken with the cares of life that we miss that still small voice, or we miss that event that He's putting into our life. And at the same time, He's trying to say, listen to what I am wanting to say to you. I know that the Lord speaks to us from His Word, and I appreciate all of the times down through my life that He has sent messages, that has spoken to me, has awakened me, has revealed me to me. God speaks those ways. I think about how that He will use methods to teach me. Through His Word, He will teach me what He is requiring of our lives. He is a faithful God. He does not allow you and me to go through life ignorant and come down to the end of our life and all of a sudden says, this was what I required. He is faithful. He has been faithful to me. I believe that He sends His Word to temper me and to shape me. And maybe I've used these words here before, but it's a big part of my life, because this is how God has worked in my life. I'm not the person I used to be. It's like when I have individuals come and maybe they see my wedding pictures and they say, is that you? Well, that's who I was. I don't look that way. I don't live the way I did at that time, because God has said some things to me. God has spoken and He has directed. He has ordered. He's enlightened. He's opened my eyes. He's allowed me to see those things in me that was displeasing to him, that he could not work with. And he used different methods to do it. I'm thinking how he uses our conscience. If we will have a clean conscience, one that's not seared, he will use those, your own mind, to be able to speak to it and bring conviction. Oh, we need conviction all along the way. It's not just when you get saved that you feel that stirring of your spirit in conviction, but he uses it all along the way. Thank the Lord. He directs our life. He orders our steps. And so God uses many, I'm going to say, avenues to communicate with you and me. And I think about his methods, how that they are numerous. We can't put God in a box this morning. We can't limit him and say, well, this is the only way that he's going to speak to mankind. Because he has numerous methods in which to deal with mankind. I also want to say they're varied. They're various methods. And he works through so many other ways to get my attention. So I think it's very important that you and I understand when God is endeavoring to get our attention. I want to say this, that when God is trying to get my attention, it is not by chance. Our God is not a God of chance. He's a God of purpose. And he doesn't make a mistake. He is a perfect God. And he does all things well. I read this somewhere that I want to share with you, so I'm going to read the statement. It says, those who expect to hear from God must withdraw from the world. We need to be reminded that we are in this world, but not of this world. We must not be consumed of this world. So those who expect to hear from God must withdraw from the world, must get above it, must raise their attention, must fix their thoughts on spiritual things and on things above, not on the earthly things, not on human interpretation. So are you expecting to hear from God? There's some things we have to do. Sometimes God communicates through events and the experiences that you and I have in life. I'm thinking about Brother Veda McMillan. He was in a serious car wreck. His body was broken up. But when he went to the hospital by the ambulance, he said he wanted to go home. An unreasonable desire for a man that is broken up in his body. And Brother Clifford Wilson went and took him home. And one of the things that Brother Veda said is, I wonder what the Lord is saying to me through this. Now we know the end of it. God miraculously healed that man, and he lived many years after. But I believe he was listening to the voice of the Lord through the event that came into his life. But I also know that God speaks to us through the tests of life. I believe he speaks to us through the afflictions he allows. Brother Dan spoke of the mercy of the Lord, allowing affliction in our life that we can search our lives. That's a wonderful blessing. I believe he called it a monument. So afflictions play a part. We need to not resent afflictions. Even the afflictions that God allows and heals us later, he has a purpose. Maybe we need to have that same thought as Brother Veda and say, I wonder what God is trying to say to me right now. Don't you know that God also works through personal loss and grief and sorrow? He's speaking something to us. I believe God is speaking through disasters, don't you? Don't you believe that when there's major disasters in our country that God is really trying to get the attention of people? Don't you believe that what we're going through right now, that God is trying to get the attention, he's trying to say something? Yes. I believe he is. I believe that he is trying to speak to each one of us here today. Some message. Something that will spur us on. Will challenge us. I know that's almost a worldly term. I've hesitated a lot of times in using this God challenging me, or I feel challenged. I tell you, I believe it goes beyond just a simple challenge. But I believe that you and I will have to believe with all of our hearts. And we will have to resist and rebuke all doubts in order to know the voice of the Lord through the events of life. The scripture that came to my mind this morning, which I'm going to paraphrase, is that all things work together for good because we love the Lord and because he loves us. And because we are called according to his purpose, and the scripture starts out and says, I know this. I am convinced of this. And if we can grasp that with faith and believe it as we leave here today, that whatever God allows in our life, it is for my good. He has a purpose in it. He's wanting to speak to me. So the following phrase came to my mind this week. I have appreciated so much the dealings of the Lord in the midst of this busy week. I really can't thank the Lord enough. But this little phrase, I wasn't even sure if it was in the Bible. It was just the Lord just inspired it with me, but it's in the Bible. And this phrase was, glorify in the fires. And so I began looking in my telephone, my phone, and putting those words in, and I found that it is in Isaiah 24 and 15. And I'm just going to give you the first part of it. It says, wherefore, glorify ye the Lord in the fires. So what do you think that means? It seems like the Lord was connecting the thought today with the past messages we've had of late. We had one message on extolling the Lord, and we had a message on magnifying the Lord, praising him enthusiastically. Lorinda got a hold of that phrase and also presented it on Wednesday night, and I've been using that phrase myself in some of the things that the Lord has allowed to come my way, praising him enthusiastically in the fires, in the midst of the fire. It takes something more than you can conjure up in yourself to praise God in the fire. So now we have this other thought, glorify. Glorify is very similar to extol and praising and magnifying. They're almost synonyms. But glorify goes to another level, and it is to exalt or to honor or to elevate. So when you and I glorify the Lord, we are lifting him up. We are exalting him. And we do it with honor. Don't you know that the word says, he that honoreth me, I will honor? It will come back. If I am praising him and worshiping him and extolling him and magnifying him, and if I am elevating him, it will come back as blessings to me. Do you believe it? I know it. So, I believe that you and I are called to do this in the midst of the fire. What does fire represent? Well, we know that the three Hebrew children were cast into the fire when they stood for what was right, refused to bow, that they knew that the result of their choice was to be cast into the furnace, and their decision was, we don't care what you say, but our God will deliver us. And as they were cast into the fire, the king looked in there, and he saw more than three men walking in the fire. And he said, the fourth man looks like the Son of God. Now, how did he know that? Something revealed to him that the God in whom they served and worshiped was the God that went with them into the fire. Fire is very important in your walk with the Lord. This kind of fire is. I have said here many times, and I know it is true, because the word says it, God is going to have a tested and a tried people. Don't expect anything else. Don't expect your life to be a flowery bed of ease. It won't happen if you hope to make heaven. The road to heaven is strewn with fires, with problems and trials and tests and burdens and cares and disappointments and grief and sorrow. Oh, does that sound negative? Are you going to look on it as negative? Oh, I'm going to push that away. Don't push it away. There is something in it for you and for me. Amen. I tell you that God has something for you and me that is more than you can comprehend until you taste it, until you pass through it. So fire is going to represent the hard places. You ever been in a hard place? Have you ever got here on Wednesday night and say, I've been in a hard place? I've been in a hard place. Sometimes it's compared to have the phrase that says, I'm between a rock and a hard place. I don't know how to get out of it. I can't get out of it. And God doesn't want you and me to get out of it until he says, get out of it. The three Hebrew children did not get out of the fire until God got out with them. Oh, it's always been such a blessing when I think of what the scripture says, that it didn't burn their clothes. They had not the smell of smoke. There was no effect of the fire on their person. Isn't that rich? Amen. What if they had yielded and not experienced that event? You and I wouldn't know that it could be done. Amen. And we are still drawing a strength and courage by just reading about it. Yes. And we're saying now we're facing some fire. You may be facing some fire. Maybe not like their fire, but you and I may be facing fire that we need the Lord to be with us in it. Thank the Lord. So I'm going back now to the beginning scripture. I will stand upon my watch, where I'm going to be a sentinel, and I'm going to be looking around me, above me, in me, within me, and I will watch what he will say unto me. So God is often speaking to us through the fire. I want to give you some scriptures now. I want to turn to Psalms 81 and verse 16. And it says, he should have fed them with the finest of wheat. Don't you know God has only good intent for your life and mine? And he wants to feed us with the finest of wheat. But look at the next part. And with honey out of a rock. Does honey normally come out of a rock? No. Honey is sweet, though. But when you are in the fires and you're experiencing the hard places, and this thing that is called a rock will produce such sweetness. Oh, Jesus said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I want to tell you, don't push the hard rock back. Say, Lord, let me find that sweet place in you. You know, I've already told you this. You heard me say it long before, many times, how that I would say, I would gladly go through losing Jan again just to feel the sweet presence of the Lord. And then after Lauren passed, a few days, the Lord spoke to me and said, I'm letting you go through it again, that you will feel my sweet presence. Don't you know I have felt his sweet presence? It's like honey out of a rock. Oh, God has some special places for us. And he wants to prove himself in all of those hard places. Let's turn to Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter. And I want to read verse 13. And it says, he made him ride on the high places of the earth. You want to be in some high places? I want to tell you, God has some very high places for us to be. He will lift us up into the high places. But he, that he might eat the increase of the fields, and he made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock. Don't you get a hold of how precious this is, that he's going to make you suck honey out of the hard places in your life? Let's look at another one now, Isaiah 45 and 3. I'm going to read verse 3, and then I'm going to read verse 2. And I'm going to use a little different translation on this one also. You can read it there in your own Bible. But this is what it says. I will give you the treasures of darkness, riches stored in secret places. I want you to see these hard places as being rich places, secret places, where his holy presence is, where his grace is, where his power is. And it's sweet. It's precious. I will give you the treasures of darkness. You don't think of treasures being in dark places, but you are going to walk through some dark places before you leave this world. Riches stored in sweet, secret places, so you might know I am the Lord who calls your name. Does he know your name? Do you know his name? Are you acquainted with him? Are you willing to walk with him? Are you willing to let him walk with you in the fire? And then I'm going back to verse 2. I will go before you and will level the mountains. You know, sometimes we even compare mountains as a hard place. Mountains are hard to climb. Mountains can be difficult. And we might look at them and compare them as these places of trial and test. But he says, I'll go before you and will level the mountains. What it says in the King James, it says, I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. He wants to do this for us. But we can't draw back and have the experience. He says, I will break the gates and cut through the bars. Now, if you read there, it's speaking of what those, he'll break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. But I want us to focus on this part of considering gates and considering bars. Sometimes those are things that hold us in. And God sometimes says, I want you to stay in this place until you learn, until you get the sweetness, until you're able to suck the honey out of this rock. Oh, you'll find it so sweet, so precious. Turn to 43, Isaiah 43. I'm going to look at 2 through 7. And it says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, thy Savior. Verse 4. Since thou wast precious in my sight, and I have loved thee. Verse 5, fear not, for I am with thee. Verse 6, I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. What does that mean? There's another scripture that speaks about that, what the north represents and what the south represents, and promotion comes from the north. You want to be promoted in his kingdom? You'll have to go through some fires. You'll have to endure some hard places and find them sweet. Find the grace to go through it and find the sweetness of his holy presence. So what does north represent? It represents cold, harsh, hard winters are difficult to pass through. Not much growth in any vegetation. Doesn't look like it's really valuable too much. If you consider, say, Alaska or the North Pole, it's just ice and cold and hard. And what he says in this part here, it says, say to the north, give up. You know, the Lord doesn't make us stay in these places forever. He has a time, and he takes us through them. And then maybe we go through something else, but maybe not of the same thing. And that's what he's saying here. You won't be in this hard place forever. There'll be a time it will lift. And then what does it mean here when it says, say to the south, keep not back? When we think of the south, we think of balmy winds and sunny days and warm and carefree and maybe even lazy because it's so comfortable. He has a time for us to go through the hard things, and he has a time for us to be relieved. I find that precious because he's also said in his word, I'm not going to give you more than you're able to bear. I will, with the temptation, make a way for you to escape. He will. He's considerate of us. So I'm going back now to our first verse. Glorify ye. Praise him. Exalt him. Extol him. Magnify his wondrous works. And then listen to what he's wanting to say to you and me in the fires. What he's wanting to teach us. How he's wanting to prove himself to us. Glorify ye the Lord in the fires. A song came to my heart, portion of it, this week. I'm going to give you the chorus of it. It may not seem too fitting right here, but it really blessed me. I bowed on my knees and cried, holy. Holy, holy. Oh, when you and I pass through the fires, if we can acknowledge he is holy, if we can bow before him and be subject to his will and allow him to shape me and mold me and fashion me and say, oh God, thou art holy. Yes. I clapped my hands and sang, glory, glory to the Son of God. Oh, he wants to be our God. He wants to be our Heavenly Father. He wants to be our deliverer, redeemer, our all in all. He wants to be that. But it'll be in the fires. Give glory to him in your fire. It's hard sometimes. It's hard to praise him when you're in the midst of a hard place. But I believe he wants to make you and me suck honey out of a rock. Pray for me.